Let's talk today about the art of professional networking. Got a pretty cool case study for you. Welcome to Side Hustle School. Welcome as well to the weekend workshop segment. This segment's all about helping you learn the key steps to a new side hustle. We've been doing it all throughout this year, 2025, one step or concept per week. And in this case, we're going to talk about what if your professional network could become your most profitable asset. That's exactly what Sarah Everett discovered when she transformed her construction industry connections into a business connecting artists with real estate developers who desperately needed their services. She built a pretty successful business out of this. So we're going to use the book Side Hustle from Idea to Income in 27 Days. It's available wherever books are sold. That's our text for this series. But if you don't have the book, I'm going to take you through the key steps along with some listener stories and examples such as this one. Now, for the first half of the year, we went through those 27 steps. In the second half, we're looking at more detailed case studies so you can hear and understand how people apply this framework. So let's get to it. The idea and discovery. Sarah Everett worked as a construction project manager. She oversaw large-scale development projects from start to finish. Her job required coordinating with dozens of different professionals, architects, contractors, engineers, city planners, etc. And through this work, Sarah developed an extensive network with the real estate development industry. She just knew a lot of people, and she was also observant. Sarah noticed a recurring issue that seemed to frustrate developers consistently. Many upscale residential and commercial developments needed custom artwork, murals, sculptures, decorative installations to differentiate their properties and justify premium pricing. If you move into a nice apartment, you want to see some art on the wall. However, developers struggled to find reliable artists who could work within construction timelines and budgets. Now, meanwhile, Sarah had a personal interest, a hobby. She was into art. She went to art galleries. She went to openings, local artist communities all the time. And there she heard the opposite complaint, which is, you know, talented artists are struggling to find stable, well-paying commercial work. And Sarah was like, well, I am a connector. And, you know, I am the bridge between these two worlds. Her construction background gave her credibility with developers, while her genuine appreciation for art helped her communicate effectively with artists. And guess what? That's where the business came about. The disconnect wasn't about each party finding each other. It was mostly about communication and expectation management. Developers needed artists who understood project timelines, constraints, commercial requirements. Artists needed clients who valued their work and paid professional rates without endless revisions. So rather than just making introductions, Sarah decided she would position herself as a consultant who helped structure deals that worked for everyone involved. And this is really a key point. If you're just making introductions, that's a nice thing to do in life, but you're probably not going to build a business out of it. The consulting structure was key. Sarah started by curating a network of reliable artists whose work quality and professionalism she could vouch for personally. And simultaneously, she developed her relationships with developers by positioning herself as someone who could solve their artwork sourcing problems efficiently. She emphasized her construction background to establish credibility and her artist network to demonstrate unique value. Now, as for her revenue model, she took a percentage of each project she facilitated, which was typically 10 to 15%, and that was paid by the artist. That aligned her incentives with successful project completion rather than just introductions. In other words, she wouldn't get paid until the project is actually completed. So her value proposition to artists was get higher paying commercial work. And to developers, it was like, let's get this taken care of. Let's solve this problem for you so that you can get those buildings up and then sell those apartments or lease them to offices or whatever it is your goal is. All right. So she's solving the problem on both sides. She's getting paid for herself. Let's take a quick little break and look at implementation and how you might apply this to a totally different business. All right, let's talk about implementation. Sarah's business grew through systematic relationship building on both sides of the market. All right, we talked about the artists, we talked about the developers. It was really key to have strong relationships with each of those groups. She already had her professional relationships through the construction industry. On the artist side, she went to gallery openings, art fairs, studio tours. She just kind of started reaching out and connecting within that community. And then over time, she developed a consultation process that prepared both sides for successful collaboration. She helped artists understand the project requirements like timeline adherence, budget management, client communication. She helped developers understand artistic processes and realistic timelines for custom work. In terms of results, within 18 months, Sarah had facilitated dozens of successful artist-developer collaborations. Again, she wasn't just making introductions, she was facilitating the whole process. She earned substantial commissions while building a reputation as the go-to connector in her regional market. I believe this was in Seattle. Her projects ranged from small decorative installations to major public art commissions worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So this was, of course, a pretty successful and thriving business. And it all worked because she solved this genuine market inefficiency while adding real value beyond simple introductions. All right, so if you're listening and you're like, this sounds interesting to me, I am a connector, what do I do? Well, to apply this connector approach to your own network, you first of all identify recurring problems you observe in your professional environment that might connect to solutions from another industry or community you're familiar with, just like we went from construction industry to art. Second, research whether the disconnect is about finding each other or about understanding each other. This is a key part of that consultation, that collaborative process. The biggest opportunities often involve education and expectation management, not just those simple introductions. Step three, build credibility with both sides. Step four, structure your business model around successful outcomes rather than just the initial meeting. Commission-based models align your incentives, and they can also justify higher fees than simple networking. Maybe you are a restaurant manager who could connect food producers with catering companies. Maybe you are an HR specialist who could connect growing companies, startups, growing companies, et cetera, with specialized training providers who understand corporate culture. You could be all kinds of things. I think there's a lot of ways to apply this connector model. You focus on the collaborative process, not just the introductions. And this obviously worked very, very well for Sarah. I know it can work well for other people as well in different ways. Just consider what intersections do you observe where your network position could create high value. As always, it's better to have a simple idea you can start right away than a brilliant idea that never launches. Thank you for joining me today for this episode of The Weekend Workshop. Another one coming out in 1 week. And of course, new episodes every single day, 7 days a week, always free. My name is Chris Guillebeau. You're listening to Side Hustle School.
From the Onward Project.